Well, Merry Christmas Eve to you all. And if you're here visiting today, we would like to say welcome to you as well as to those who call Bridge Cities their church home and their church family. We are so glad that you're here to celebrate the eve of the birth of our Savior, our Lord, the Messiah, the promised one, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. My name is Derek Armstrong. I'm the lead pastor here. And on behalf of our church family, I'd just like to say you are welcome here, and we want you to know that you are loved here. And we want to get right into the scripture on this Christmas Eve, on this afternoon in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 says this: "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with his wife Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told of them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." You know, if we're honest, Christmas has a way of exposing our expectations. You expect a gift, and maybe sometimes that gift may miss the mark. You expect a moment, and maybe that moment doesn't quite feel like the movie scene and all the Hallmark movies that I know all you guys have been watching. You expect this moment, and sometimes you expect joy, and actually it feels heavy instead. And that's just not true about Christmas. That's actually true about life in general. Many of us are not where we expected to be. We're not where we expected to be, maybe relationally, maybe spiritually, but I want to share with you that there's good news, that Christmas is about a God who shows up in ways that perhaps we didn't expect. And nowhere is that more true than the story that we just read, the story of the birth of Jesus, because when Jesus arrived, he was not what anyone expected. They expected a king. And God sends a baby. They expected power, and instead, God sends this vulnerable child in weakness. They expected a throne, and instead, God chose a manger, not a palace, not an army, no announcement to the powerful. Actually, we just read that it was an announcement to shepherds who were watching their flocks at night. And these shepherds, they were very low class, and the job of a shepherd was not well looked upon, and even to the point that in their culture, a shepherd's testimony was not even admissible in court if they were a witness to some sort of incident. They were not favorably looked upon, but that's who God chose to send this announcement to. He chose to use a teenage girl, a carpenter, shepherds on the hillside, and a feeding trough. That may very well not be what all of Israel was expecting, or maybe even what you and I would have expected. The creator of the universe, now wrapped in this tiny little human skin, completely dependent, crying in the night. This is not how you launch a movement, but yet it's how God chose to save the world. Because Jesus did not come to meet human expectations, he came to undo human brokenness. So this afternoon, I want to give you a phrase to hold on to, that Christmas is actually the gift of undoing. Christmas is actually the gift of undoing. I want you to think about that. Because Jesus didn't come to help us try harder and to try to be better. He actually came to undo what sin broke. Most people think that religion actually works like this. Try harder, do better, be a better version of yourself, clean yourself up, and maybe, just maybe, if you do all that, you'll be able to get into heaven when you die. Maybe there's some hope for you in the afterlife. Maybe God will accept you. But Christmas tells a different story, because the angel didn't say, good luck. The angel said, I'm bringing you good news. Because Christianity is not advice, it's news. You don't climb up to God. That's not the idea. The idea is what we sang about, Emmanuel, God coming down to us. So I want to share something personal with you this afternoon, that my wife and I have learned something about weakness. And we unfortunately had to learn it, like most of us, the hard way. I really wish that I could just read a book or attend a conference and go, okay, I learned that, I figured it out, I got it. But so many times I find that the lessons that I've learned in life have been through going through difficulties. Two of our three children, who are all now adults, all three of our kids are adults now, but two of the three have both been in life or death situations, and both have been in children's hospital at different points in their lives. And if you've ever been there, if you've ever had to sit as a parent or a grandparent or a relative or a friend in that waiting room at children's hospital, you know this, that there's no feeling quite like it. You walk into that building and you think you're strong. You think you're capable. You think you're responsible. But actually, you quickly realize how powerless you are. Because I remember sitting in the waiting room while our son was in emergency life-saving surgery at 9 years old. Hours passed, no news, no update from a nurse or a surgeon, no control, just sitting and waiting, praying and waiting. There was nothing that I could do in that moment, no matter how bad I wanted to, no matter how much I would desire to, there was nothing I could do to help him. There was no strength that I could summon. There was no solution that I could offer or figure out. No effort that was going to change the outcome that I could put forth. Then there was another moment when our newborn daughter was flown by helicopter to Children's Hospital. Man, I'll never forget being out there waiting on the helicopter to arrive and seeing that chopper land down. And we weren't allowed to fly on the chopper with them. We just had to watch as it took off. And then we took off to head to the children's hospital to meet them there and just hope that she was going to be alive when we arrived. I remember the way that felt. Is she going to survive? Again, all I could do was wait and sit and pray and wait. That kind of weakness does something to you. You feel powerless. You feel scared. And maybe even sometimes you just feel numb to all of it. And what surprised me the most was that in those moments, it wasn't strength that saved us, because I wasn't strong enough. It was actually dependence. I had to depend on someone else. I had to depend on doctors, nurses, surgeons, friends, family, people who showed up with meals, with prayers, with presents. we survived that and lived through that and were able to heal from that because we were carried, not because we were strong. Somewhere in the middle of all of that, God began to reframe something in me, and I realized I didn't need to be strong. I actually needed help. That takes a great deal of humility when you realize my hope is in someone else. That's when grace stopped being an idea and grace started becoming real to me. Christmas isn't about God applauding our human strength and going, "You guys are doing great. Keep it up. More of that." And then if you all of a sudden get into a pickle, God says, "Don't worry, I'll bail you out." That's not what Christmas is about. It's not about God helping you out on occasion. It's actually about God entering into human weakness, because God didn't look at humanity and say, "You guys need to try harder." He looked at us and said, "They can't save themselves. They can't help themselves." So what did he do? He came, not with force, not with flexed power, but as a baby, completely dependent, completely vulnerable. Because the message of Christmas is this: weakness is not a problem for God. It's the place that he actually loves to meet us. This is the place Jesus came. Jesus came to undo striving. So many people are exhausted. Not just physically, but spiritually. They're always wondering, am I good enough? Have I done enough? Have I messed things up too badly? But look at a God who invited the people first to the birth of his son. Not the religious elite, not the moral achievers, but shepherds, outsiders, unimpressive guests, ordinary people. God didn't wait for humanity to get their act together. He stepped into our mess. That's why Jesus later said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Not more pressure, not come to me and I'll demand more performance. Rest. So Jesus, he came to undo that striving. And Jesus, he came to undo shame. A manger is not a place of honor. I went on a trip to Israel a few years ago, and I got to see what this manger most likely looked like. And it's not the cute little thing that's sitting on your mantle. It's not the nice little nativity scene of the little cute box filled with hay that looks oh so comfy. It's actually a hole in the ground. Because what would happen is that in the stable, it was a cave, and they would actually have a hole in the ground as a pass-through, where this hole would be all of the different grain and the different food for the animals would be passed through so that the animals could stay in the cave, in the cage, and they could eat out of that hole in the ground. And that was the traditional way that people would keep their animals. That's most likely where Jesus was born, not in this beautiful idea, picturesque thing. This tells us something important. It tells us that God is not afraid of messy places. Some of you walked in here this afternoon maybe carrying shame, carrying regrets, carrying failures, and things that nobody else knows about. But Christmas says God didn't wait for a clean environment to enter the world. He came right into the mess, and he didn't come into the mess to shame you, but to save you. So Jesus came to undo your shame. And Jesus came to undo your earning. You don't earn a gift. You actually just receive it. And what do you do in response to receiving the gift? You turn and you give thanks. That's the whole idea. I'm so in awe of the greatest gift. That's why the Bible says it's by grace we are saved through faith, not by works. That word grace means undeserved. God doesn't love you because you're good. God loves you because he is good. This is why Jesus was not what people expected. Most of us expect a God who is expecting a better version of us, and he's gonna help us become a better version, like you 2.0. But Jesus didn't come to give us advice or the occasional assistance. Jesus came to give us a new life altogether. And he didn't come to improve you. because you were so great before you recognized you needed him. He actually came to rescue you. The baby in the manger would grow up to carry our sin, our shame, and our striving all the way to the cross. And he did this so that forgiveness could be free. Grace could be complete. Free forgiveness. No expectation of you trying to somehow earn or pay it back or balance the scales of justice in your favor. Free forgiveness, free grace, so you could be made right in the eyes of a holy and perfect God. We're about to sing a song called Best Part. And there's a line in the song that says, "When I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me." That's the gift of Christmas. The gift of Christmas is when you thought you were too far gone, that God came near. When you thought you had to earn it, all of a sudden Jesus paid for it. When you thought you had lost yourself, he knew exactly where you were. Folks, the best gift God could give you was not more effort, a little help here and there. The best gift that he could give was himself. And so today I understand that in this room, there are people who are in different places. Some of you believe and you have professed faith in Jesus Christ and you have declared him as Lord and Savior and you are following him, and that's great. So Christmas Eve for you is a reminder of a celebration. It's a reminder to deepen your trust and dependence on him. It's a reminder for you to be thankful for the gift that you've been given so freely, because the Bible says freely you receive, so freely you give, and you give him your all. That's what it is for those who believe in Jesus. But there are some that I believe that are hearing this message this afternoon that perhaps you're skeptical. And that's okay. We were all at one point skeptics. We've all at some point doubted. We've all at some point have had questions. None of us would never admit to not struggling at some point with that. So you're not alone in that. But I do want to tell you that if you're skeptical, searching, if you're curious, I want to say this clearly to you, and I want you to hear this lovingly this afternoon, that you do not have to fix yourself to come to Jesus. You do not have to clean up first. You do not have to earn your way in. That's why he came. And if tonight you realize you've been striving instead of trusting, running instead of resting, then this gift is for you. And it's not what you expected. You maybe just expected to come and sing some Christmas carols, hear the story about Jesus' birth, and I don't know, go eat some tacos or something, whatever. Open some presents. But it's exactly what you needed, even if it wasn't what you expected. So I'm going to invite you to receive Christ today, to respond to Jesus by faith. And we're going to sing that song here in just a moment as a response to grace, to forgiveness, to the God who came close.